Hallo, hier ist Malte Asmus, der Chefredakteur der Podcastbude. Die Würde des Menschen ist unantastbar und das ist ein Grundsatz, mit dem ich aufgewachsen bin und an den ich weiterhin glaube und den ich übrigens auch meinen Kindern immer predige. Entmenschlichung, weder durch Taten noch durch Worte, darf niemals wieder salonfähig werden. Die Grundsätze der Demokratie, die müssen erhalten bleiben. Und deshalb gib der Demokratie deine Stimme. Bleib nicht leise, geh wählen, und zwar weise.
Hi, welcome to Bookie, which unlock big ideas from world bestsellers in audio, text and mind map. Please download Bookie at Apple Store or Google Play with more features. Get your free mind snack now. Today we'll unlock the book Buffett, The Making of an American Capitalist. From January to May every year, investors from all over the world go on a pilgrimage to Omaha, a small city in the Midwest of the United States, to absorb Warren Buffett's wisdom on investment. Buffett's articles and words are regarded as a Bible by his many fans, who recite his words as if they're sacred verse. Buffett says finance and investment are as easy as talking about the weather with grocery staff. When he speaks, he never uses difficult or obscure academic terms that sound foreign to listeners. Even ordinary people without any background knowledge can understand his analysis of the financial world. The reason why Buffett is so adored by people lies in his great achievements and charming personality. In 2008, Buffett surpassed Bill Gates on the Forbes 400 to become the richest man in the world. He had $62 billion in assets. Unlike other successful people, he's the only person who attained his unprecedented riches through investment alone. He's also an entrepreneur and former corporate manager. Buffett is not a serious man in a suit who sits in an office building. He's more like everyone's favorite uncle. On one hand, he focuses on work; on the other, he's an easygoing and humorous man who always treats people kindly. There's no need to overstate Buffett's success. Although it's hard for us to summarize Buffett's life completely, we can learn from his investment experience and life wisdom. This biography describes Buffett's life during three periods and shows us how he gained his investment experience in boyhood, youth, middle and old age. We'll get to know Buffett's rules for living, his investment philosophy, and why he does what he does. The author of this book is Roger Lowenstein, a senior financial reporter for the Wall Street Journal. To write this book, Lowenstein researched Buffett and collected materials for many years. He also conducted several interviews with Buffett's family, friends, business partners, and so on, and their stories gave him a comprehensive, true, and detailed picture of the great investor. The result is a classic of investment literature that every global investor should read. Next, we'll summarize the book in three parts. Part 1, The Boyhood Buffett. Part 2, The Young Buffett. Part 3, The Middle-Aged and Elderly Buffett. In 1929, the United States plunged suddenly into the Great Depression, which destroyed financial markets and human lives across the country and around the world. Buffett was born in the second year of the Great Depression, 1930, in Omaha, Nebraska. He was a 6-pound baby and was born 5 weeks prematurely. Warren Buffett would later dominate the financial world. However, in the years around his birth, most American people, including Buffett's family members, were struggling. During the Great Depression, thousands of people in the United States were unemployed, and most of them needed government relief to survive. By 1933, more than 11,000 people in Buffett's hometown Omaha had applied for government relief. Buffett's mother didn't have a stable job, and the bank where his father worked closed. After this, his father started a company to sell investment securities. Buffett lived in poverty during his childhood, and these difficult years left him with deep and lasting memories. The fear of poverty and the desire to become rich pushed Buffett to start considering how to make more money. When other children were playing with each other, Buffett, at the age of 5, set up a small stall in front of his house to sell chewing gum. When he was 6, he sold Coke on the street, and he began to do market research when he was 9. Furthermore, Buffett sorted bottle caps that he picked up to figure out which drink sold best, and by extension which company earned the most profit. Gradually, he dreamed up more and more ways to make money. Buffett once had a high fever when he was 7 years old. The doctor performed an ileocecal resection to cure him of his illness. After the operation, Buffett was very weak. However, instead of thinking about how to recover from his illness, he wrote numbers down on paper. A nurse asked him what these numbers represented. "I don't have much money now," Buffett replied cheerfully. "But someday I will, and I'll have my picture in the paper." Even at that young age, Buffett had a blueprint for his future, and all of his expectations have been realized. Some people make money to make a living. For Buffett, his only desire was to become rich. This desire became a powerful motivation that drove Buffett further on his path to making money. He often read a book called 1,000 Ways to Make $1,000. Inspired, he improved his blueprint and remembered the advice from the book, Begin. Since then, Buffett became a doer and kept on his path of making money. Among those experiences, two were crucial in benefiting Buffett and helped to shape his philosophy: his part-time job in junior high school and his entrepreneurial experience in high school. When Buffett was in junior high school, he got a newspaper delivery job to make money. As he worked, Buffett found that many of his customers also wanted to read magazines. So he began to sell magazines while delivering newspapers. However, he soon encountered a problem. The subscribers in one residential building moved frequently and often forgot to pay Buffett their magazine fees before they left. To solve this problem, Buffett cooperated with the building's elevator operator. When a resident moved, the operator reported to Buffett immediately. In return, Buffett gave the operator free newspapers. In this way, Buffett spent only pennies to solve his problem. Buffett earned $175 per month in his part-time job, which was equivalent to the salary of a white-collar worker at that time. By the time he was 15, he was able to invest $1,200 in a 40-acre farm. This part-time work taught Buffett that it wouldn't be easy to realize his dreams, and that only by thinking actively can problems eventually be solved. Although he earned a lot by delivering newspapers, this didn't stop Buffett from pursuing greater wealth. The belief of begin not to wait was rooted in Buffett's heart for a long time. Buffett had always been preparing his plan to enter the financial world. In his senior year of high school, he started a new round of entrepreneurial practice. His friend Don Danley had a second-hand pinball machine. Both of them played it almost every day. One day, it occurred to Buffett that since it was so much fun to play the pinball machine, why not put the pinball machine in a barber shop and charge the customers per hour to use it? Buffett didn't contemplate too much about how he might expand, what kind of difficulties there would be, or whether the venture would be successful. He immediately found a barber shop and talked with the owner about cooperating. The barber shop provided space, and Buffett was responsible for providing and maintaining the pinball machines. In those days, there were no smartphones that allowed customers to kill time while waiting for their haircut. So to avoid boredom, they would play the pinball machine. Buffett and his friends made $14 on the opening day. After confirming the practicality of the idea, Buffett and Danley immediately expanded their business and opened 7 more stores within a month. They also gave the company a big name, the Wilson Coin-Operated Machine Company. After that, Buffett had a steady income of $50 every week. This entrepreneurial experience gave him unprecedented feelings of happiness and accomplishment. To avoid being targeted by organized crime, Warren and Danley decided to run their business in rural areas. And they only negotiated with barbershop owners by pretending to be young assistants, as if they were only obeying the orders of a powerful boss. Buffett's entrepreneurship tells us that we should never wait to act on our dreams, but think and reflect as we move forward until we achieve our goal. As Buffett's father ran a securities company, he was able to enlighten his son about stocks and bonds. Buffett had been particularly addicted to numbers since he was a child. When most children had little idea of what a company was, Buffett was already interpreting the numbers on ticker tapes he got from his father. When Buffett was 10, his father took him on a train to visit New York, Wall Street, and the New York Stock Exchange. Buffett was obsessed with stocks in the same way that other children were obsessed with toys. He often played at his father's securities company and other local securities companies. When he got back home, he would organize stock charts and try to discover the secrets within them. When Buffett was 11, he began to practice stock trading and bought 3 municipal preferred stocks for $38 each. After experiencing some ups and downs, he eventually earned his first profit on the stock market, $5. But the investment world is broad and deep. For Buffett, there were still a lot to learn and experience before he rose to fame. Next, let's take a look at Buffett's learning and investment practices in his youth. Today we are just sharing limited content. To unlock more key insights of world-class bestseller, please download our app. Just search for BOOKEY at Apple Store or Google Play. Get your free mind snack now.
Hallo, ich bin Christiane Beer, Führungskräftecoachin und Organisationsberaterin. Alle 2 Wochen habe ich in meinem Podcast Führungsgefühle Führungsmenschen zu Gast. Getreu dem Motto, Führungskräfte sind auch nur Menschen, spreche ich dabei mit meinen Gästinnen über deren Führungsarbeit und wie es ihnen im Arbeitsalltag damit geht.
Ist dann immer auch gepaart mit persönlichen Verletzungen.
Wir sprechen dann über ihr ganz persönliches Glück und Leid, Frust, Stolz, Sehnsüchte, Leidenschaften als Führungskraft, von Führungsgefühlen eben. Und wir sprechen darüber, wie sie damit umgehen.
Das ist tatsächlich etwas, was mich vom Bild her die Wellen surfen lässt.
Führungsgefühle, der Führungspodcast mit dem Blick auf ganze Menschen. Überall, wo es Podcasts gibt.
Dir hat dieser Podcast gefallen? Dann klicke jetzt auf Abonnieren und empfehle ihn weiter. Bleib immer auf dem Laufenden und folge uns bei Twitter, Instagram und Facebook. Mehr Podcasts findest du auf meinpodcast.de.
Hallo, hier ist Malte Asmus, der Chefredakteur der Podcastbude. Die Würde des Menschen ist unantastbar und das ist ein Grundsatz, mit dem ich aufgewachsen bin und an den ich weiterhin glaube und den ich übrigens auch meinen Kindern immer predige. Entmenschlichung, weder durch Taten noch durch Worte, darf niemals wieder salonfähig werden. Die Grundsätze der Demokratie, die müssen erhalten bleiben. Und deshalb gib der Demokratie deine Stimme. Bleib nicht leise, geh wählen, und zwar weise.